In other news.
To determine why and how the towers collapsed.
Kind of scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
We walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
In this day and age, in order to control people and maintain a predictable, manipulated global economy, you have to know what they're thinking. The NSA continues to vacuum up every domestic email, phone call, and text message being sent in this country, and last month, the U.S. Congress voted to pass a bill extending for another 6 years the NSA's practice of internet surveillance. Yet beneath the surface of mainstream consciousness, a war of even more domestic covert surveillance operation rages on. In addition, the technology used to secretly harass and spy on civilians, known as electronic gang stalking, is often cutting-edge, military-grade equipment. In past shows, many guests have shared their surveillance and gang stalking experiences, such as Carissa Conti, Dr. John Hall, Richard Bruce, Robert Guffey, Don and Carol Croft, Laura Wisey, to name a few. Despite the news blackout on this topic, the New York Times published a feature story on gang stalking. Though a hit piece, it was nonetheless many years too late to the scene, as mainstream press is often known to be on certain issues until they become unbearably obvious. We take another look at the secret surveillance world and electronic gang stalking from the perspective of a longtime surveillance countermeasure expert, Roger Talsis. Roger started Advanced Electronic Security Company in 1972. He coined the term electronic harassment, and his company specializes in technical surveillance countermeasures such as bug sweeping for telephone line bugs and computer data line taps and electronic room sweeping. Roger, welcome to Another News.
Okay, I'm here.
Roger, you mentioned there are two general areas that your company provides service in, and that's detecting various types of surveillance and helping clients with electronic attacks. How often do you receive calls from people reporting some type of electronic attack?
We receive at least 10 to 20 a day. And they're from all over the world, just not in the United States alone.
I see. Can you walk us through a typical case where you're helping a client protect themselves from an electronic attack?
All right. Well, if somebody calls me up and they says they're being attacked by some kind of electronic directed energy device, what we want to do is we want to go and find out what kind of attack it is. And so to use that, we have Tektronix spectrum analyzers. And those are kind of like frequency receivers that look at the whole spectrum from zero cycles up to about 33 billion cycles or 33 gigahertz. So what we do is, and these machines have, they're computer-based, so they've got the ability to collect frequencies. So we just let these machines run at the location where the people are getting attacked to try to determine the source of the directed energy, whether it's from cell towers or satellites or from aircraft or from a land-based system like something in a truck. And then once we have captured the attack, then we know more about what it'll take to make a countermeasure that would stop it from reaching the people. So we have several things. We have an active shield, which is our most powerful shield. And what that does is it surrounds an individual with electrostatic energy and blocks these kind of attacks.
Can you go into a little more detail about that shield? What does it look like?
Well, basically, it's two panels that are mounted 6 feet across from one another, and they stand on a frame. And normally, people that are attacked with electronic harassment are attacked worse at night when they're attempting to sleep. And so consequently, one of their symptoms is sleep deprivation. And of course, you know, sleep deprivation is used as a kind of torture. So what we're trying to do when we put them inside an active shield is to return them to comfortable sleep, because they're shielded up from attack. So the one unit that we have, the active shield unit, is set up for going around a queen size bed, and it has an active power supply that generates the magnetic field. And as long as you're between the two panels, you're encompassed in kind of a field that if you could see field, it would be kind of like an egg shape. But once you're inside of it, it saturates your body with bioharmonious energy, and any external energies are blocked.
During the day, when a client is up and about, walking around at home or at work or traveling, are there other methods you use to help shield your client?
Well, when there's no electricity available, they have to go with passive shielding. And so metallized fabric is the best kind of passive shield. And that can give you up to 80% of attenuation on the signal so that you can have some degree of relief.
So that's a clothing line?
Well, there are some clothing. If you go to lessemf.com, they have a huge catalog of clothing and materials as well.
Roger, do you experience any electronic harassment yourself?
No, because I can block it. I mean, over the years, we've experienced it. They attacked us at a meeting in Northern California some years ago. I think it was 2012. But there was a conference of people that were, free-minded individuals. What was the name of that conference, Don? Do you remember?
No.
Yeah, I was trying to remember the name of it. But anyway, the conference, they moved the satellite over the conference, and they attacked the whole conference. And everybody was getting sick and had headaches and felt sick to their stomach. And we captured the attack coming off a satellite. It was called Conspiracy Con. It was a conference. So anyway, we had people that were sick, and then for some reason, Saturday, and people, were leaving the area because they felt so bad. Funny part was the next day I turned my machines on, and the attack was gone. So Saturday, it was unbearable, and then Sunday, it was gone. So you can see that on YouTube because I actually did a presentation there of the attack, and you can see the electromagnetic waves on the spectrum analyzer on YouTube.
Oh, good work, Roger. There you have proof and evidence right there. And listeners may be interested to know that when you're directing a beam of frequency to a human, it can cause many effects, as you pointed out, headaches, nausea, racing heartbeat, sudden itching.
Well, it can give you voices in your head as well. And, of course, you hear a lot of these people that go out and shoot up places like this last high school. They're all saying there were voices in my head instructing me to do such and such. So that's also a characteristic of this kind of weapon system.
Is it difficult to find out for sure if somebody's experiencing voice-to-skull technology, if they're hearing voices? Does that technology leave a residue or a signature that you're able to detect later?
No, not so much a signature, although it has an ongoing effect. In other words, if you are being hit with any kind of directed energy, it depends on the size of the energy and the duration of the energy. But all these things have debilitating effect on your physiology. So depending on what the nature of the radiation, it can cause a weakening of the immune system, as an example, and as a consequence of that, then you're open to opportunistic infections. So anytime that you're taking the normal bioelectrical system of a human being and you're making it chaotic by external wave systems, then you're affecting the homeostatic stasis of the normal electrical healthy flow.
You're able to detect interruptions within the normal flow of electricity in the human body.
Well, you can if you use a GDV machine. It's a GDV machine from Russia.
Yeah, okay, Dr. Konstantin Korotkov.
All right. So with these GDV machine that I've used before, it uses Corellian energy to read your fingertips, the aura on your fingertips.
Right.
And then once you put all 10 fingers through the machine, it goes through and makes a spreadsheet based on the results that it got from the electrical potential readings. And it shows different displays. You can see a chakra alignments, and you can see other things. And we happen to know that it works because We were testing out Rife machines at one point. I bought all the different Rife machines. My wife had breast cancer, so we were testing Rife machines. And we would use a Rife machine, and then we used the GDV to make an alignment reading. And we could actually, after each different Rife machine, we could get readings that were different. And I'm talking even in the same day, several hours later. It was a fascinating amount of research.
The gas discharge visualization. Now, what do you attribute those different readings to?
The fact that you've realigned the body electric by external waves. Because Rife machines, what they do, they use plasma tubes to broadcast different frequencies. The theory being that if you have the frequency of a known pathogen, that you can kill a pathogen. You know, the whole Rife technology is like we could do a 2 hours on Rife alone.
We've covered that, Roger. It's interesting that you're referencing it now. That was kind of a big deal in the last few months and last May, actually.
Okay, so we tested all those, and we also tested multi-wave oscillators, which were Lakovsky's. You know about Lakovsky?
I don't.
Okay, he's a Russian doctor that was friends with Tesla. And so he went to Tesla and he said, well, is there some application for health for your Tesla energy systems? So Tesla said, oh, yeah, sure, you can charge the human body with it. So they came up with a circuit and he built it into an original patent. You can see the patent from 1930-something. And what it is, it's a multi-wave oscillator. It's an oscillator that generates frequencies by use of a spark gap. So if you look at it on a spectrum analyzer, it's bursts of frequencies that cover a large area of spectrum. It will go from like zero cycles up to about 2.5 gigahertz. So the theory being that if you sit in front of a machine that's generating energies like this, no matter what frequency of resonance your 20 trillion cells in your body are, you're going to hit that frequency and you're going to charge your body. Kind of like a battery charger for human beings. And so we settled on a Vibe machine. Some people make it out of Colorado, and a quantum pulse Vibe machine. So they're about $16,000 each, something like that. But we bought four of them for experimentation, and we went through, I don't know, about 7 or 10 years of experimentation on them. And they're quite amazing in the sense that you really can boost the life force of a human being using these machines.
Don't you find it interesting, Roger, that the medical knowledge that is available revealing the subtle electrical field within the human body is often violated by this technology in our midst, and this technology in our midst that's allowed to proliferate? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you have to remember that we're in a stranglehold of a pharmaceutical industry. They literally want to kill people that do any kind of alternative medicine. As a matter of fact, they destroyed Royal Rife. I mean, even though he was back in 1928, the AMA and the pharmaceuticals were starting to get the power, and they literally burned his laboratory down. He had a laboratory in one location. They burned it. They destroyed all the Rife machines, and these... Luckily, some of his Rife machines went to Europe, went to England. And so there is a fellow named Jeff Garf, and he has a unit called the GB4000, and they went to England. They reverse-engineered Rife's machines, and they literally build it's close to identical copy. And so if you're not familiar with the GB4000 and Jeff Garf's, I forget the name of his company, but anyway, just look up the GB4000. And I have one of those machines as well, and they work well, and they've got a lot of flexibility.
Roger, just going back a little bit, did your wife recover okay?
Yeah, she refused the chemo, and she refused the radiation. And that flipped out the doctor because, you know, he wanted to give her 6 weeks of breast radiation for $11,000. And the funny part was I said, well, you know, if you do surgery and you remove a tumor from a breast, why would you want to radiate a breast? This is the chief surgeon in a major hospital. The guy looks at me and says, I don't know. So he's recommending 6 weeks and $31,000 worth of radiation on somebody, and he didn't know why he was doing it. So he sends me to a radiation oncologist, some 30-year-old kid, And we went to see him just for the fun of it. And he's saying, well, the theory is that your cells are more robust than cancer, and if there's any other cancer left over, then we'll kill that. We won't kill your cells. And I'm saying, wait a second. You're trying to tell me that cancer is not as robust in cell proliferation as the human body? I don't get it. So anyway, we didn't go for the BS, and the doctor freaked out. He said, well, I'm going to put in your report that you didn't go with the standard of care. You know, kind of like a threat. So anyway, the whole medical industry is totally screwed. So the sad thing is that we bought multi-wave oscillators to share with people that wanted alternative health, and we offered it to them for nothing. In other words, you know, use the machine, feel better, and don't pay us anything. And we still couldn't get people to go because the families of people that had cancer insisted that they go to the local hospital and go through chemo and radiation.
I don't know when this is going to change, Roger. It's brutal.
Well, this is the thing you have to know. The food industry is the job security for the cancer industry. So you eat 60 years of crap food, and then you have cancer at the end of your life, and then the medical industry cleans out your assets. And you think the typical cancer treatment's like $250,000, right?
Yeah, that about sums it up.
So, you know, welcome to America, because everything's the bottom dollar, and, you know, there is very little that doesn't happen that isn't money-motivated. Just turn on television. You know what television is?
No.
That's what your TV set is called. Television. Almost everything that comes across the screen is selling you something one way or another.
Can you hold on a second? We have a pretty loud fire engine here going by.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you know, if I go into a building in New York City and I run an access point list, in other words, I just ask for access points, I could have, in a city building, I could have 100 Wi-Fi routers. You know, that wasn't that way 10 years ago, but now, you know, you start talking about electronic pollution, you could have 100 routers if you live in a typical apartment building that's blasting Wi-Fi, which is a very brain-disruptive frequency. I don't know if you've ever seen a Wi-Fi signal on a spectrum analyzer.
No, I'd actually like to talk about that because it's been a while since we've had Amy Worthington on, who was one of the first people to talk about the dangers of wireless radiation and Gwen Towers back in 2000. But yes, please continue, Roger.
Well, you just have so much router energy now that you're living, and it could be just right across the wall from me. You know, if you actually have neighbors, they get the router on the other side of the wall. You could be 5 or 10 feet sitting next to their router, and I know you're talking about pulse frequency hopping modulation. Very brain disruptive.
Roger, I'm in a building right now where on the other side of the wall there's a router, and I have an EMF detector. It doesn't have a meter on it, but it just makes a noise. Move the microphone.
Right. That's just a field strength meter, and it's making a detection noise. But if you actually look at the wave. I can hear it well. Okay. I have a document called Electrical Hypersensitivity Document, because a lot of people they didn't even know they were electrical hypersensitive, and all of a sudden you start putting all these routers in close proximity to where they live, and next thing you know, they're not in good health anymore.
And I think people have interrupted sleep because of that?
No, I get anxiety attacks. If I'm downwind between a router and a computer that's going back and forth, you know, because you've got your, you know, the two-way radiation coming in two directions, your upload and your download, you know.
Right.
So, you know, if I'm in between the two, I get anxiety attacks, so I've had to rearrange places. Of course, most of my places I hardwire use Cat5 cable. That's the way you stop that problem, at least for your own immediate area, but that doesn't help you well in the neighbors.
How would you at least start to diminish the wireless pollution in your apartment from other neighbors?
You could put up a metallized fabric, but it's expensive if you were to cover your walls. Or you could use the active shield on different areas that you want to sleep in, I mean, the active shield unit is primarily made for surrounding you when you sleep and protecting you. But, you know, if you're talking about a whole apartment, it becomes more problems.
Indeed. And what about aluminum foil?
Aluminum foil does have some shielding effect. It depends on what kind of foil it is, you know. I would have to run frequency tests, because when I originally ran frequency tests on materials, I would like fire microwaves at a shielding material, and then I'd have a receiving antenna, and then going to the spectrum analyzer to read the attenuation to see how much it reduced the wave. And on a lot of the professional materials, it went down about 80%. And that's your metallized fabric made of nickel and silver. So there's a material called NICE, N-I-C-E. That was one of the ones I tested. And then there's another one that they've got at Less EMF. Argon mesh. And those are real high quality, but, you know, it gets expensive when you start draping the stuff around. It's $15 a running foot. And, you know, that's 32 inches across on a roll? Okay, 39 inches across a meter. So you're at $15 a running foot. That gets pricey when you start putting on all of your walls. But then you have to put on your ceilings and on your floors if you're up upper floor. So, you know, you want to try to get yourself into a situation of being shielded on all sides.
So it's interesting, Roger. You must be kind of blown away by how people are so accepting of this wireless technology. This is actually some of the ways that electronic harassment is used. What are your thoughts on this coming 5G network?
Well, that could be even worse. I don't know. I'd have to see the wave. But the thing about it is, anytime you're adding more radio frequency, you're adding fields that are interfering with our biofield. On a health basis, things are really deteriorating because of these radiations. And I think some of the people that call me and say that they're being purposefully radiated by the government are actually being radiated by things like Wi-Fi, like we're talking about. And the thing about that is one of the characteristics can be delusional behavior. So you can get people that are manifesting thoughts that they're being attacked by somebody. And the other interesting thing is that, you know, people who call me up, they say, I would say about 90% of those people tell me it's their neighbor that's doing it, that they know who's attacking them with energy weapons, and it's their neighbors. So after the investigation, 90% of those people end up being wrong. That's the statistic that I've got from, you know, doing about 4,000 cases. 90% will say it's my neighbor, and then in the long run, 90% of them are wrong. It's not their neighbor. It's another source of energy. So that can be Wi-Fi interference. It can be cell tower interference. It can be any number of things. We've run into all kinds of radio, but different kinds of radio transmissions, people that are on the path of microwave links, as an example.
It's such a shame to hear about this, and it doesn't invalidate their claim. It's just that the source isn't necessarily what they think it is.
Well, you know, the thing about it is that you're stuck. And interesting, I've had people that would hire me that were thinking about buying a home, and they wanted me to bring my spectrum analyzers in to make sure the home wasn't saturated with microwaves from, you know, cell towers or anything. And so I could think of one guy we did a test, and there was a hidden cell tower up on the hill over him, and his house was saturated with microwaves from that tower, and he didn't go forward with the purchase. He said that environmentally is going to be no good for him, and he canceled his purchase of this property.
It's smart. And you look on the internet, sometimes on YouTube, there is case after case, community meetings, the public going up against cell towers near their schools. People are awake to the harmful effects of microwave radiation coming from these towers, but it's a constant battle, as you know.
Well, you know, they're not going to win it either, because, they're, you know, all the research that says that it's negative is never going to come out. You know, the bottom dollar is going to make sure that's not going to happen. And, of course, the medical industry says, hey, we're good with that. Let's make the people sicker. We'll make some more money. Sounds good to us.
That's primarily in the United States. I'm sure it's in other countries, but at least in other countries such as Israel and Russia and India, they do report on the harmful effects of radiation. I understand that pregnant women in Russia are not allowed to carry cell phones.
Yeah, okay, sounds good. Well, maybe they are a little more wise about it, but at least in this country, there's really nothing going to happen. You have to make sure that if you're going to buy a location to live in, that it's not toxic.
Since we're talking about sources, Roger, of electronic attacks and harassment, what other sources have you found that is affecting people?
Well, natural sources or intentional attacks.
So we covered satellites. You've reported on that. Did you find out what satellite that was coming from, who it might have been?
No, because the satellites move. So you really would have to have knowledge of what satellite was there at what time. And if they're military satellites, there's no information about that.
We're really sitting ducks. If you're a problem to the establishment in whatever way, that could be one way that you're going to get messed with.
Yeah, sure.
You said trucks parked on the sides of roads and near the home. What other sources are you finding?
Drones.
There's so many types of drones. What type of drones are they?
It can be surveillance drones, or it can be a drone that would actually have some kind of weapon system on it.
So these would be the larger, more professional drones that...
It could be any kind of drone, large or small, as long as it can carry a payload, you know.
Can you describe a typical payload that would be needed to cause some kind of electronic harassment?
Well, take a device like a router. You take a router, only instead of using an omnidirectional antenna, you use a directional antenna, and then you aim it at the target. So you can broadcast the kind of Wi-Fi interfering radiation as near field because you can fly it closer.
It's incredible. So have you uncovered cases like this?
Well, I've had people that have drone problems that call me and say their drones are coming, and they take photographs of them, and they try to at any rate, but usually it's nighttime, you don't get a very good photograph. But I have plenty of clients that are complaining about drones.
Roger, on your website, bugsweeps.com, you have an image of a modified microwave oven being used to attack somebody. Talk about that in particular. How often is that used?
It's hard to say, but in terms of cases, I've discovered just a few. But there's a lot of people call me up and want to know how to make one. So in other words, a lot of people want to have this weapon on hand to hassle their neighbors. And if you go on YouTube, there's an actual guy that takes a microwave oven apart and he weaponizes it. In other words, he takes all the guts out and he rewires everything and he turns it into a weapon, and then he demonstrates how the weapon works. It's a YouTube video. It's about 7 minutes long. So I don't have the exact title of it, but if you want to know anything about it, how it's done, this guy literally builds one, and then he's doing things like lighting up fluorescent lights from about 30 feet away. And because those things have about 2,000, 2,500 watts of power. So if you're trying to just blast your neighbor through a wall, you can do sufficient damage.
Right. I understand it causes cataracts pretty quickly.
Microwave is dangerous stuff if it's high energy.
If it's high energy. Many listeners are familiar probably about how Americans working at the American Embassy in Havana, Cuba last year were attacked with a sonic weapon. However, the origin of the attack isn't known yet. Can you talk about what you found out about that particular story?
Well, you have to understand that all this technology, especially bio-coded directed energy, do you know what that is?
No.
Okay, so this is the latest technology. They go to your garbage in the street that you put out on garbage day, and they get your DNA. Once they have your DNA, they run through a supercomputer and come up with an algorithm so that they can broadcast it off a cell tower or a satellite. And it basically is like makes you like a cell phone in the sense that they can call this particular wave energy and have it only go to you. So, you know, three people could be standing in a room and you're the one that gets whatever kind of directed energy result they want it to send out. So it works similar to the cell system where, you know, three people have the exact same model cell phone. But if I call one person's number, his phone's going to ring and the call's going to come through. It's similar to that, and it works in the same kind of efficiency. So they can literally sit at a keyboard and send down to you, no matter where you are in the world, a harassment that they just type out on a keyboard. So if you want to hear voices, let's send them voices. If you want headaches, let's send them headaches. If you want to have, you know, an acoustic event, a sound thing, just send that. So, but they're not, no one's ever going to talk about this because it's top secret. So you're getting stuff on your show that's top secret. Hope you're not sweating that.
No, not at all. And I appreciate you going into detail about this because the way the story unfolded was very odd. Little information was given at first, and then journalists became more and more brave to get into more detail, especially when some of the people became very, very sick.
I think the military establishment doesn't want any part of Cuba. They want to make sure that everybody that's running Cuba is out of the way before they go back into Cuba. You know, Obama was trying to be conciliatory. I don't think the military and other peoples that are in power are interested in having anything normal with Cuba, and I think that's the reason.
With this DNA tailoring a specific frequency based on your personal DNA, is this relatively new, and do you see this happening often?
Oh, I see it happening all the time. It's the latest technology and relatively new now, probably 5 years, but they're expanding the use of it, that's all. But the technology was a huge breakthrough in weapon systems, because now you can pick out not only individuals, but you can pick out, as an example, you can pick out a race. So let's say you're on the battlefield with people that are, people from Saudi Arabia, as an example. You know, you're fighting Arabs. So you dial into the machine that you want this DNA to attack only Arab DNA. You don't want it to attack Caucasian DNA. So now you just set off all your attack weapons, like active denial. You're familiar with active denial?
Yes.
Okay, so you just have a battlefield full of active denials, and you tell it to kill Arabs or wipe out Arabs and leave Caucasian people alone. That's the whole idea of electronic warfare. Non-lethal weapons is that, you know, I mean, they went into Iraq, and they blew up Iraq, right? So what happens after you blow up Iraq? You've got to spend $1 trillion rebuilding the bridges, the cities, the infrastructure, the water systems, you know. So warfare's got to get smarter than that. They figure we'll just want to go in and just blow up the people and leave everything else intact. So that's where these weapon systems started to put big money. You know, DARPA, you're familiar with DARPA, right?
Correct.
Okay, so that's why they put DARPA on getting all this research done into non-lethal weapons so that they can wage war without destroying infrastructure.
So you see this in the public sector, the civilian world as well?
Well, they have to develop these things. They can't develop everything on prisoners because that's not where it's at. You want to destroy dissidents. So you want to identify a dissident, then you want to program the dissident into the system, and then you want to make the dissident suffer where they can't be an obstacle to the political thing that you're trying to get done.
I was curious, and I'm sure you have to keep the identities of your clients private, of course, but I was wondering, are they activists? Are they maybe a scientist who was working in a lab and then quit, and then he became a target? Do things like that occur?
Yeah, sure. We do have people like that.
Do you want to elaborate on that? What other types of people?
No, I don't want to elaborate on it. But you've hit it on the head. People that are dissonant are targets.
Somebody was sent me this. I forgot the name of it. It was a series of murders in the UK. That occurred in the 80s, where they were working on guided missile systems. And a lot of the people that were working on this technology were murdered. afterward.
Yeah, generally these they don't. You know, what I've seen is not murder, but it's enough to make you sick enough that you just don't have energy to be a dissident. In other words, if your headaches and your heart's racing and you got all these other problems, you don't get out of bed in the morning. Or if they do sleep deprivation, you know, if you haven't slept in 10 days, then, you know, you're unable to proceed with the secondary things in your life.
Do you work with Organite at all?
No, I've never done that. I haven't done any research on it, but to me it doesn't make sense.
Roger, I was wondering if you also help people who experience gang stalking on the pedestrian and vehicle level.
Just giving them advice on how to go about finding out who's doing it, but I don't physically get out there and do it. You know, the easiest way to handle that is to have somebody follow you on a known route. In other words, like Saturday, you have five places that you're going to go for, 3 or 4 hours, and you just have somebody stay back with a pair of binoculars, you know, spotter, and have them follow back two cars and just take down license plates and do photographs of anybody that appears to be following you. So it's a really simple way to deal with it.
When you reveal the identity of some of these gang stalkers, are they government or military or mafia?
Usually they're government subcontractors.
I see.
The plates will come back to rental car rental places and that kind of thing.
I see. Interesting. Many of the listeners know about the hideous agenda of government surveillance on its population, but because of your line of work, you're privy to a world many are not. And could you talk about your perspective on the scope of unwarranted government surveillance in the United States?
All right. Well, the first problem is that everything you're doing electronically is being stored in the million square feet of Bluffdale, Utah's computers. You know, they put a new data center up there with a million square feet of supercomputers. So the thing about the warrantless listening to people's calls and warrantless watching what their browsing history is and going through their text messages is that you need a court order to get that, but that doesn't mean you can't store it. So in other words, everybody's phone calls, everybody's text messages, everybody's browsing history, all that's going into a supercomputer and is sitting there waiting for the government to go to a court and say, I'd like to find out about this individual. And that includes the cross connections between you and everybody you ever dialed and all the people that you text to. So, you know, the networks, these machines have the ability to make network charts that connecting you with other individuals. You know, can you imagine the founding fathers, you know, when they wrote the Fourth Amendment to have your papers be secure from government intrusion and opening up your mail. But what the government's doing is it's kind of like they're taking a Xerox of every piece of mail that you ever get in and out and just storing it. This would be equivalent, you know, to back in the time that the founding fathers wrote this. I'm trying to draw a parallel. Do you follow what I'm saying?
I do. It's very disturbing, and we've just gotten used to it at this point.
Well, I don't think many people know it. How many people do you know, unless you have a very enlightened core of people that listen to your show, that these things are even being put into perpetual posterity?
Yes, the listenership here are extremely tuned in to this reality, and it's an unfortunate reality that I say a lot of people have become used to, because I think people feel powerless. They don't know what to do.
Yeah, well, the only thing you do is stop paying money to the government. You have to defund it. You know, so in other words, you'd have to stop paying taxes. You have to stop sending your money. But the real fraud is, you know, I don't know whether I talked to you or not about. Do you know the cost of the Federal Reserve printing a $100 bill?
No, we didn't get into that. But right. Sure, that's the connection.
Let's just do this for a second, because This is where the real floor, you're already paying probably 50% of your income to the government. You know, it was kind of like 150 years, all these slave owners were sitting around saying, oh, geez, we got to feed the slaves, we got to house the slaves, we got to take care of their health care. There's got to be some way that we can run this plantation get the slaves to pay for all this other stuff and say we'll take 30% of their outcome, you know, whatever they put out as far as their work and labor, all we'll just take. So here we are like 150 years, 100, 200 years later, and you're on Plantation USA because you're turning over anywhere from 30 to 50% of your money to the government. And I'm not talking just income taxes. I'm talking about sales taxes, property taxes, taxes on every utility that you deal that you subscribe to. You're paying, if you're paying rent, you're paying the property taxes, you know, through your rent. So it just, it must be 100, maybe 150 different times of taxes. So you're really a Federal Reserve slave. But the deception that I wanted you to see is, as an example, a $100 Federal Reserve note costs the Federal Reserve 15 cents to print. Okay, then they turn it around, they give it to the people of the United States, and they have to honor it with $100 of value of their labor and their savings. So that's how the government just perpetuates everything. They don't worry about being $20 trillion in debt, because if you can give somebody, have something cost you 15 cents, and you can get $100 value for it, you can go forever. Do you follow that?
Yes.
This is the reason the Constitution specifically said that all things should be, all financial things should be gold and silver. Things are real underlying value. But Nixon, that slimeball, he's the one that took us off the gold backing back in 1972. So now it's just massive fraud. And everybody's asleep. You know, they're taking this paper and they're thinking that it's worth $100. Well, it's only worth $100 if your next door neighbor thinks it's worth $100.
Roger, getting back to the surveillance the U.S. government is conducting on its citizens, why do you think it's so pervasive at this point? What's going on?
That's just 1984. Have you read the book?
I have, and seen the movie, but
okay, well, I did a whole series of shows about 1984, did it several years ago, where I actually opened up the book and I would read sections of the book that I had, you know, had done the pre-research on to show you that almost everything was being implemented. Everything that was in the 1984, I know what I called it. I called the show the 1984 Prophecies. That's what I called the show. Anyway, I just started reading the book over the air, and it was with one of the other shows. And I started reading sections of the book, and it was just, you know, one thing after another, you know, facial recognition and, you know, all the things that he was talking about in 1946, 70 years ago, was coming to fruition.
Was this a radio show? Can listeners go to it?
I don't know where it is now. It's one of the Coast to Coast shows that I did with George Norrie, and it was back, geez, I don't know. If you look at my website, I think I have it on the front of the website. I have some of the dates. And I don't know whether you can listen that far back or not.
Right. This was 2008?
Might have been. I don't know. If you go to the front page of my website, bugsweets.com, it lists it in boxes, some of the subject matters.
Oh, very good. So here you have the public being perpetually surveilled, everything being sweeped up. And at the same time, there are individuals reaching out to you. How often do you receive calls from people reporting that they're under covert surveillance?
All the time. But the thing about it is there's nothing you can do. I mean, if you are using electronic media, about the only thing that you can do is take a piece of paper and write a handwritten note and put it through a fax machine to somebody, because the automated reading systems can't, that I know of at any rate, can't read script particularly well. So if you write a note to somebody in script, you know, your own style of script, you have a good chance of it not getting sucked up into at least immediate reading. It will get stored, you know, in the computers, but it won't be immediately read like it is with printed character.
That's good to know. You have maybe a week or so.
Well, no, it would just turn up as a document that would need a human examination.
I got you. Okay, interesting.
But everything else, anything else that's written, like in a text, the machines can just scan the text as it goes through it, looking for keywords.
this is the other realm of your work, is handling covert surveillance. Can you give listeners an idea of some of that work with room sweeping? And I know you've been doing this for decades, but has the technology improved, or they use the same methods?
No, the technology has improved, but you know, if we just sweep rooms with a nonlinear junction detector, which is it's like a dual-headed antenna, and it has a transmitter, and it transmits out microwave, and then it receives it on an antenna, so that if any electrical device is anywhere in the walls, in the floors, in the ceiling, or in the furniture, the machine will register that it's present. So when you talk about room sweeping, as far as that, because it doesn't care whether the device is working or not, it's putting out an excitation wave, and it's reading the results. So it will find electrical devices, you know, microcircuits and chips and all that, whether they're operating or not. So that's part of a room sweep, is to use a machine like that. The other part of the room sweep is to use spectrum analyzers to see what's in the transmitted wave. And then the other problem is, if you're dealing with a business, you have to examine the software for the phone system, because all phone systems now use software. So you got software that will actually cause lines to be bugged. Like, you ever call up a company and say, "Well, you, this phone, your call's being monitored for training purposes or whatever."
Of course.
All right. Well, that's all done through software, so that the, you know, the key people can record and listen to the way that the people are handling the business, to make sure that there's, you know, for training purposes, that kind of thing. So that's all done in software. So now, the phone system for a corporation becomes a real problem. They have to make sure that their software is audited to make sure that there's no funny stuff going on, and they have to make sure that nobody's hacked into the software to make that happen.
This is including the fiber optic phone systems, the VoIP?
Well, voice over IP stuff is the same thing. It's still software-based. So the main thing is that you're not diverting phone conversations to unknown places.
Your methods can immediately detect that?
No, you have to go in, you have to audit the software. And you know, there's all these different phone systems. So you got to really know a lot of stuff about how to get into the software of a phone system and make sure that everything is going where it's supposed to be going, that the president of a corporation's phone isn't going to some place in Moscow or China.
Yeah, there's a lot of propriety in these various phone systems these days.
They're all programmable, though, because that's how you set up the phone system. You tell the phone system on a particular station what features you want it to be able to execute. And some of those features are listen in and barge in situations, or call rerouting and diversion, call forwarding. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that you can do with these software. You got to be sharp. And of course, you can do that same thing with people's cell phones. I can take your cell phone and put covert software in there and get your phone to call me up every time you make a call and listen to your call.
So you can install that remotely?
No, I'd actually need to get into the phone. I'd have to put the software in the phone somehow.
Interesting.
But the government may have a software that they can do that with. But as far as the softwares that you and I can purchase, they all have to be. We'd have to get the phone and install it. You don't even know it's there.
It really paralyzes people at some point, and I'm sure, you know, a lot of this surveillance culture was done, and many people understand this to thwart activism.
Well, it's possible as well, but the thing about it, you really don't have any privacy anymore, so. Hard to say what it is.
Could you walk listeners through a typical case where a person's home is being covertly surveilled? What would you do?
You use nonlinear junction detector to check all the interiors to make sure there's no covert electronic devices. Spectrum analyzers to look at the frequencies to make sure there's no frequencies. You'd have to check out their router to make sure it hasn't been hacked to send out information. Then you would check their phone lines if they have actual phone lines relating to, you know, physical landlines. You can use radar systems to radar the phone line back to the phone company to see if there's any taps on it. And then there's just checking their cell phones to make sure there's no covert software.
Okay. This other realm, I remember back in the early 2000s, Roger, when these panels were being put up on top of buildings all over Brooklyn, New York City. And I asked, what are you putting up there? What are these? And the guy was Russian, and he said in a heavy accent, these are for your cell phone. These are GSM systems, UMTS. And what I understand is they operate in the same range as some frequency weapons. What are your thoughts on that?
I would have to see pictures of it to see what it is. You can tell a lot about the intent on an antenna by looking at the configuration. Different waveguides tell you different things, so I would have to see it, see what the application is.
They're not just cell towers. They're not just for cell phones.
They're not, because anytime you can transmit to the general public biocoded directed energy, you can attack anyone anywhere. If I dial your cell phone right now, it rings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there it is. You can have a guy sitting in Bluffdale. He goes to the computer. He dials in your DNA. He says, send this guy headaches and accelerated heart rate. He pushes the button, and that's what happens to you, just like your phone ringing.
Yeah, we might as well be Amazon employees with our little wristband.
Well, you know, with biocoded directed energy, they find you just like a cell phone. Same thing. System doesn't have any problem finding your phone, and the biocoded system doesn't either in terms of finding your body.
The ground wave emergency network, the Gwen Towers?
Yeah, I've tested some of those. They're not working.
Of the ones that you've tested, they haven't been working.
No, they haven't been working. That whole thing's obsolete.
It's obsolete. No
kidding. They don't need it. Why, if you can reach everybody with biocoded directed energy, do you need to deal with anything different than that?
Yeah, I was curious about this. These things are about 500 feet high. They're
just antiques now, just like the microwave links of yesteryear. Because everything's going fiber optic now. So all the towers that you see are just kind of there for backup.
I was wondering about that. Yes, I know, Roger, you've examined a number of patents that are out there. We don't know if the actual equipment exists, specifically the ones that are like psychotronic weapons to affect people, like the voice-to-skull technology. And I know you referenced this with the school shooting.
Well, anytime you hear these people saying that they're hearing voices, then the voices are telling them to do something. It's a good chance that you have somebody who is a government in the government program. They don't know that they're an experiment, but they are.
I know it's very disturbing to consider. What advice would you have for people who may be listening right now and are being electronically attacked?
You need to move to some place in rural America. And get yourself away from the towers and, get yourself into a community of life, like-minded people. I call these kind of properties lifeboat properties. So, Idaho, Montana, places like that. Because when it all goes down in the city, it's all going to happen within 12 hours. I mean, the food runs out, the gasoline runs out, and the cops go home to take care of their families. So when it hits the fan, it's going to be very quick. You want to make sure that you're in a good place, lots of food, a lot of like-minded community people that can, gather together to defend their community.
Well, Roger, I really appreciate you being on to discuss some of these not so pleasant concepts and ideas and realities. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
You're welcome.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Join me again Monday, 11 p.m. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.